This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Look right down any crowded hall. You'll see there's a beauty standing. Is she really everywhere or a reflection? One always calls out to you, the other's shy and quiet. Could there be two different girls who look the same at Sweet Valley, Sweet Valley High? Sweet Valley, Sweet Valley High.
Welcome to Pi Beta Alpha, the podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of the Sweet Valley High TV series, episode by episode. I'm Anna Carey.
I'm Karen Moynihan.
And this week we're revving our engines because we're going to have ourselves a drag race.
Yeah, isn't
it funny
how...
Not the fun kind.
This is the thing. It's like the phrase drag race has just been completely co-opted by RuPaul now, and that's just the immediate association.
Yes, and this episode is called Drag King. Sadly, as we said last week, we didn't want you to get your hopes up. There are no drag kings or queens.
No, indeed. Very much not. It's
just surly boys.
Just so surly. Oh, my God.
Well, we will start as usual with our Wikipedia and Amazon blurbs. And I guess I'll start out with Wikipedia. It's quite detailed. Let's see how accurate it is. A few sentences. Jessica uses a love potion to attract Devon. True. This, less true. Renata tries to fit in. She doesn't give a shit.
No.
And Winston tries to help her do so and hopefully become her boyfriend at the same time. I mean, he's just trying to become her boyfriend.
Yeah, that's the main motivation. Like, she doesn't need help fitting in because, as you say, she doesn't give a shit.
Well, the blurb continues. Devon challenges Todd to a drag race. Start your engines. Well, it continues even more.
Oh, okay. We're still going. Let's hear it.
Devon makes it clear who he's really interested in. Well, he sure fucking does, with no consideration for any sort of social norms about how you behave to somebody in front of their partner. So that's it. It's quite long. What's happening at your end?
Well, quite simply, it is Devon challenges Todd to a drag race. That's it.
Wow. Not even a mention of the love potion.
Nope. They don't care. They're here for a plot and nothing else.
Well, this episode begins down the racetrack, God help us all. I mean, they were getting their money's worth out of this location.
Oh my God. I guess the motorbikers have all moved on to another town and now it's cars everywhere. It's a car raceway.
Well, Todd drives up in what we later learn is his 1967 Chevy. And Liz, you know, can't believe basically that she has found herself at a car race. And Todd says it's for the same, she's there for the same reason that he was at what he calls a fettuccine film festival.
Yes, but it turns out he's actually talking about a Fellini festival that Liz had dragged him to.
Yes, he didn't get it anyway.
No, he was not impressed.
So he carefully polishes his bonnet, and Liz is amused by how protective he is of this Chevy, and asks him how is he even enjoying taking the car out when he's so nervous about anything happening to it. But Todd says that his dad trusts him.
Yeah, so this is his dad's car apparently, and. Liz, like, how did you get the keys? I thought your dad hid them. But he was like, he didn't hide them. They were like in the middle of the living room. And Liz apparently points out, under a floorboard. So his dad has really gone to great lengths to keep Todd from this car. But as we know, parents are absent in these books or in these episodes.
Yep.
So really all that was stopping Todd was a crowbar, I guess, from getting to these keys. So he's out and about in the car, but he's super paranoid about it. And he's just kind of checking it over and minding it and polishing it every chance he gets. But he reckons that as long as nothing happens to the car, he's going to be okay. So even when he parks it up, he takes all these traffic cones out of the boot and like puts them all along the side of the car so no one can even park too close to him.
Well, Liz Whiteley says he's obsessed and he backs away from the car and he's like, no, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not thinking about this car. But then he sees two nuns, like full on comedy nuns in a nun outfit from a fancy dress shop.
It is so funny considering all the talk about nuns recently as well in our comments. But yeah, the two nuns, as you say, comedy nuns turn up and they're like oohing and aahing over this car. I think even in the subtitles, they're like, ooh, twin pipes. It's just like one I had when I was young. So these nuns apparently are complete gearheads and super into their cars. So they're admiring the car. And Todd yells at them. He's like, sisters, get away from the car.
The way he does go, sisters, is genuinely funny.
It's so funny. It's nice to see Todd being funny because he gets so surly in this one. It's
return
to form, but it's fun that he got a little, at least a moment of silliness in there.
Again, a reminder that the surliness of the Sweet Valley Boys is not the fault of the actors.
It's no, definitely not.
What they're being forced to do.
Let them be funny. They're good at it.
By the way, the comedy nuns remind me of when a friend was at, I think it must have been a funeral. There was some religious, like some mass was involved. And a friend of hers was there. It's like Irish as well, but brought up Church of Ireland, which is Anglican to the rest of the world. And said something about, oh, so we do the nuns on the run thing. And my friend was like, what do you mean the nuns on the run thing? And the other girl did a gesture. My friend was like, do you mean the sign of the cross? And she thought blessing yourself was the nuns on the run thing.
Because
she had only seen it in the Robbie Coltrane comedy romp, Nuns on the Run.
That is wild to me. What a cultural difference between us and the Anglicans.
I know. You could reach the age of like 19 and think that the side of blessing yourself was the nuns on the run thing.
Wow, that is gas. Fucking hell.
Well, those nuns are full on nuns on the run nuns. That would actually make sense as to why they're so like hanging around a racetrack in the middle of the afternoon.
There you go. They're up to something.
Well, the credits roll and we cut back to the racetrack and there's a very long establishing shot that I thought was going to be relevant in some way because it sounds like they're making like muffled announcements and I was like, oh, they're saying something dropped out. Is this going to be a thing? Yeah. It isn't.
No, it doesn't lead to anything. It's just really, there's just loads and loads of establishing shots of shiny cars and different kinds of racing cars and I guess they had paid for people to bring these cars to this track, so by God, they were getting their money's worth out of it. And we all just suffered through it.
Oh God, for so long. Well, Liz is bored, as well she might be, and Todd is like, oh, but look at these amazing machines. And Liz points out that a Cuisinart food processor is an amazing machine, but she just wants to sit and watch that for hours. Cars zoom around for ages, and then Todd spots out the one to watch.
Yeah, apparently car 63, whoever's driving that one really knows their stuff, apparently, because they're doing really well. But then as they're looking around the crowd, they see Jessica sitting quite close by, just a few rows down from them.
Yes, on her own. So they go over to her. She's just in front of the nuns, if I recall correctly. And they ask what she's doing there. And of course, she's there for Devon, where he is number 63.
Oh, no. So Todd is raging that he's inadvertently complimented Devon. Because, yes, it turns out that he's the extremely skilled driver that's been doing the rounds.
And when Liz finds out who that mystery driver is, she does go, oh, that was Devon, in a very interested way. So then, confusing moment, we cut to what I assumed was Fowler Crest. But when we go inside, Jessica enters a boudoir, we find it's exchange student, alleged Renata's gaff.
Yeah, Yeah, it's weird that we still haven't seen an exterior shot for Fowler Crest after four series, and suddenly Renata breezes in fucking three episodes in and we're getting all the detail on her house. This is very strange.
Also, what sort of exchange student is she?
Whose house is she in? Have her parents rented this for her, and she's just there solo with like a maid or something. There's a lot of unanswered questions, I feel like, about Renata's living arrangement or what the hell is going on there.
Well, it turns out that Jessica's there to vent because I was going to call him Dylan again. Dylan Whitelaw invited her to the racetrack, but then he ignored her. He is such an arsehole.
He's quite rude. He's very handsome, but he's quite rude.
So rude. And of course, Jessica is not used to being ignored. She says she feels so beige. But Renata is not happy to hear that Jessica is into a man who drives for sport.
No, because Renata herself once was in love with a man who did such a thing, but she said never again. And she flings open her wardrobe to reveal a shrine to Juninho, who was her... her boyfriend, who was, I guess, a really famous race car driver in Brazil.
Except he looked very like Ayrton Senna, who was also Brazilian, and like her mystery boyfriend, did also die in a terrible car crash.
Oh, God. Yeah, because she reveals that, Juninho, apparently he had it all, his fame. He had the title. He had me, but then died in a crash. And now he's worshipped as a god by millions in Brazil. But even just thinking about Brazil now makes her cry because it just brings her all back to losing Juninho.
Yeah, apparently she's all homesick now, which surprised me. I have to say, part of me hopes. I mean, I'm 99% sure that was a photo of Ayrton Senna, so I'm not sure what was going on, or somebody who looked very like him. But I did check. What year was Ayrton Senna born? Okay. 1960. So if Renata is the, you know, was allegedly dating him before he died in 1994, then she was, I don't know. Well. I mean, perfectly legal if it was the actress's age, but who knows how old the character is meant to be now?
It's anyone's guess.
She was about 14. So let us hope that they're taking some more licenses
I think the fact that he's been given a name like Juninho, which is very much not Ayrton Senna's name, I think it's okay. We're fine.
Unless that's a Brazilian or Spanish word that means, you know, like Carino or something that means my darling. Who knows? But anyway, she goes on about him and her love of Brazil. And while she's mourning all this, Jessica genuinely hilariously just goes, blah, blah, blah. We were talking about me.
Oh, God, yes, because, of course, she's unmoved by all of this because it's not about her, so she doesn't care.
Well, Renata has some advice for her.
Oh, boy, yes, Renata can help. She says a very simple potion will do the trick. So she does a great flourish below the shrine to reveal her row of potion bottles, which, holy shit, they're amazing. they're all individually labelled in different colours, so I guess the label tells you what type of guy you'll get with these, because the row along the shelves read race car driver, dictator, dashing revolutionary, Latin movie star, and finally dictator's chauffeur.
That made me laugh. That was so
good. It's like, is she a spy or something? Is she like secretly running a coup in different places in South America? What is going on here?
Well, she gives Jessica a sort of a file to wear around her neck full of herbs and roots from the Amazon. And Jessica's all like, oh my God, you actually went to the jungle to get this? And Renata gives her a genuinely funny look and was like, no, of course not, the pharmacy. But Jessica has to add some special ingredients.
She does. So for the potion to work, it needs a lock of Jessica's hair and also a lock of the guy's hair. So she's going to have to try and figure out how to get some of Devon's hair into this. But also, there's a great moment when Jessica's kind of seeing all this madness of different potions and stuff, where she's like, I'm afraid to ask what's in the other cabinets, and Renata just shrugs and goes, mostly shoes.
You can see why Renata has gone on to have a successful comedy career, because She is genuinely, she has the comic timing, despite the ridiculousness of her role.
Yeah, once you get past that bananas accent, she is very funny.
And we know accents. So Jessica is disbelieving and says that it can't possibly work, but Renata holds up the Latin movie star bottle and says she thought the same until she got a call from Antonio Banderas.
Oh boy. Again, let's not get into the ages and age gaps actual timing and years of it all, because we're just going to have to take that one as a joke and keep it moving.
Well, let's hope so, because he too was born in 1960. Anyway, we cut to Sweet Valley High, where Winston is walking down a corridor reading from his big book of Brazil facts, which I think, did you take note of the title? Because I thought I'd remember it, and it was clearly a joke. It was.
I just figured it was something about Brazil, but I didn't realize it was actually going to be funny.
It was something like more than you ever need to know about Brazil or something like that.
Great.
So he's reading out Brazil facts like obscure bylaws to Enid, and then he bumps into Renata and he tries to impress her with his knowledge of a Brazilian delicacy.
He does. Now, I found this quite cute.
It was cute.
I was like, is this just me being biased because I think Winston is so lovely? But no, this is actually a funny and cute way to ask somebody out.
It was.
Because when he sees her, he goes up to her and says, oh, you know, Renata, I know Brazilians like coffee. What is it, like average per capita consumption being 4.5 cups a day. So he then goes on to ask her out for maybe 1.5 cups of coffee.
Aww.
Which is so sweet. But Renata just kind of gives him her look and she's just like, this is not to my taste, and just keeps walking.
So Enid tells him she doesn't think that facts will impress Renata unless they come with a side of gold earrings. But then she has an idea for how to charm the Brazilian exchange student. And of course, it comes from family tale.
Well, of course, Enid has a relative for every situation, because apparently when her uncle wanted to impress, well, she calls it her aunt Nana, who was
from
Alaska.
Yes, I was confused by that.
Very confusing terminology there.
Yes.
Anyway, this woman who eventually became her aunt, he wanted to impress her and she was from Alaska. So to do so, he built an igloo in his meat locker because he was a butcher. And Winston is like, oh my God, and did it work? And it did, apparently, and she was really impressed. But then the power went on this meat locker and apparently the whole block was flooded with short ribs.
Oh, a typical Enid family adventure. And Winston is amused, but in an affectionate way.
Yeah.
And intrigued.
He is, yes. He's getting ideas.
We cut to the, I don't know, science lab, where Devon and Liz are, their faces sort of pushed up against it's been so long since I did science, can't remember what they're called. Those jar things.
It's a beaker, isn't it?
A beaker, that's it. Can't even remember that.
Yeah, they're back in science class and their lab partners still, obviously. I guess that first project was going on to something else. But anyway, they've been put together as lab partners. So these are their little moments together. And they do kind of have a weird little moment where they're both like, as you say, their faces are nearly smushed together looking at this beaker. Mm-hmm. And they kind of look at each other and sort of just like, Liz just pulls away anyway and starts kind of changing the subject. And she's like, oh, you know, I didn't know that you raced cars. So she kind of tries to take the conversation away from anything a bit too close.
Yes. She does look clearly smitten, I think. Like the expression on her face is very charmed.
Yes, very much so.
So when she says that she didn't know about the racing thing, he's like, there's a lot of things about me you don't know. And then he invites her to his next race and she's like, oh, you know, I'm not really into car racing, like no offense. Doesn't say this is clearly a date and I'm not interested in you in that way.
I have a boyfriend.
Yes.
Because she is interested.
Oh, she very, very much is. But then he suggests that she write about his next race and the racetrack for that paper of yours. I guess the one that he insulted last week.
Yeah, you call that journalism?
Oh, it's journalism when it's talking about you and helping you get a date, is it, Devon?
Turns out that's when the definition kicks in.
So we cut to the casa where Todd arrives and asks Liz out on a drive. He's buffed up the Chevy and he's ready to go. But Liz has news for him.
Yeah, she's got plans. She's going to the racetrack to write about Devon. And Todd is horrified by this news. He's like, that loser. But yeah, Liz insists that, you know, she needs to write the article because a lot of people are interested in racing. But Todd is like, well, a lot of people like basketball, but you never did a story on me. But Liz is like, how often do we have a race car driver at Sweet Valley High? I mean, maybe not race car driver specifically, but like, oh, wait, Sam didn't go to Sweet Valley High. Damn it. Okay, there goes my point.
Oh, you're right.
But an almost professional racer of some point was already in the town, then, I guess. Damn it, he wasn't in the high school.
Todd was taking part in those races, wasn't he?
I know. Oh, exactly. Todd. Yeah. Oh, very strange. Maybe, yeah, he doesn't have the same memories because he's a new Todd.
Oh, who knows how it works?
But yeah, he wonders, you know, could someone else write this thing? Because he has this whole special evening planned, apparently. But Liz promises that they'll do something tomorrow instead. But Todd is not happy about this development.
Mm. Can't really blame him.
No.
Well, we cut to the Moon Beach, which Winston has decked out like a Brazilian bistro.
Yeah, there's basically giant ferns everywhere.
He's even cooked some Brazilian cuisine. Now, Enid isn't impressed, but my faith in Winston to cook, I don't think I've ever really had authentic Brazilian cuisine, but my faith in Winston's ability to cook it is small.
Shaky at best. Yeah, she tries whatever food it is. But she kind of starts choking and she's like, oh, it could use some, and she's kind of trying to cough through the words. But Winston's like, Tabasco, chili powder, cilantro. And he eventually gets out a fire extinguisher and just runs away because it was clearly miles too spicy.
Well, we cut to the booth and booth, and Todd is annoyed, and Liz is like, look, that go, if only it's like a day or so later. In fact, it must be a few days later because her article has appeared.
Oh, yeah. It's been out and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's insisting that this night at the track wasn't a big deal. But Todd says she made it sound like a big deal in her article. So things are awkward between them.
Yeah. Kind of strained already.
Mm. So we cut to the, where the entrance used to be, but now we can't see it through all the fronds of plants. And Jessica and Renata enter, and Jessica is enraged that Dylan, done it again! Devon is still ignoring her. It's like a slap in the face, but then she gets one.
Oh my God. Well, this is the thing. This is done so well because Renata's just walking slightly ahead of her and like shoving the ferns out of her way as she goes in. But just as Jessica says that it's like a slap in the face, the plant just like wallops her in the face, and it's great.
Very nicely timed. Then Winston comes up, oh dear, and offers Renata a piranha, a braised
seared piranha. Mm. Yeah.
I suspect this is not a Brazilian delicacy and more a stereotype of a creature that's in the Amazon, but like, maybe I'm wrong. Brazilian listeners, let us know.
Yeah. I also feel like they take any opportunity to throw in a piranha reference anyway. There's always piranhas being referenced in this show, but usually in terms of people where it's like, oh, watch out for her, she's a piranha. Or the Batmans are all piranhas. Like, piranha is thrown around a lot.
That's true, it is. And now I guess we do have somebody who's from the same country as piranhas, but
they were obviously, you know, they were going to have to take this opportunity to get a piranha reference in.
So apparently all the decor and you know, the general vibe does, Renata says, remind me of my native land, but then she gets all homesick and runs away crying.
Yeah, she cries, my poor Juninho, because it's just made her think of her poor dead race car boyfriend. And she does. She runs out crying.
Well, Jessica just stays there, I guess, because we cut to her lurking in another booth, and she's trying to get something from Dylan. I mean, Devon. Oh my God, I'm genuinely not doing it on purpose.
Yeah, so she's on her mission to collect some of his hair for her little potion. So she's in the booth behind him. And again, this is just great from Brittany Daniels, where she's kind of like, she'll sneak up behind him like with her tiny scissors and just try to like snip off a little bit of his hair. But then he'll like turn around quickly. So she has to duck down behind the booth again. And she does this two or three times and then eventually manages to snip some hair. But it's just a funny little comedic bit, like where he keeps kind of turning around like, what is going on behind me?
Again, her physical comedy is great.
So good.
Did make me realise how hard it is to sneak some hair from somebody with short hair.
With short hair, if you'd long it, like if it was Winston in season two, she'd be laughing, but she just never had any interest. Easy.
She wouldn't have needed a love potion for him now.
That's true. He was already smitten.
So she puts it and some of her own hair into the file. But when she joins him at his booth and uncorks the love potion from its little mini jar, it somehow starts smoking and apparently exuding a terrible stench.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, because Devon is kind of looking around and he's like, oh my God, what's that smell? And then, of course, the extras get involved as well. They're like, ooh, something reeks. And Jessica looks all offended. She's like, it's not my necklace. It must be Winston's cooking. But everyone is reacting now to this terrible smell and everyone is just bailing out of the Moon Beach altogether. So it really must be very pungent.
And they're blaming Winston. Jessica's unfair rumor starting has obviously worked. So he wails that his anaconda burgers will all be wasted. Because I guess he's committed.
He really committed to this whole Brazilian bistro bit. Too much, you would say. But it is great because as everybody is piling out of the Moon Beach past him, he's like, no, please stay. But again, the extras are great and they're all just like, sorry, man. Oh, no, it's terrible in here. And as one guy goes out, he's like, sorry, Winston, peer pressure.
I did like that.
It's great. Like a joke from an extra that was meant to be a joke. It's brilliant.
No, they're usually, we're just amused because they're going, oh, way to go.
Awesome, right on. Just various platitudes.
Well, we cut outside the Moon Beach. It's like, you know, outside a bomb scare or something. Yeah.
But like the fire alarm went off or something.
Yes. So Enid points out to Liz, how she didn't know this, I don't know. But anyway, apparently the Tribune, for you might remember, that is the name of the ersatz Sweet Valley News in the TV series. Apparently it picked up her story about Devon. And there was a very unprofessional for a journalist photo of her and Devon smiling, kind of in a boyfriend and girlfriend vibe, in the winner's circle.
Yeah, and of course, when Todd hears this, he's straight over and he's like, oh, let me see. But Liz is all squirrely about it, like immediately. She's like, oh, no, it's not a good picture. And she kind of folds up the paper and tries to hide it from him. But of course, Todd eventually gets a look at it and immediately is just thrown into a fit of jealousy where he's just like, oh, well, you two look really cozy. And to be fair, they do. Like, it is quite a boyfriendy, girlfriendy picture.
So he says, does he even belong on the sports page of the paper? Because basically, you know, racing isn't a sport and any moron can drive a car. And then Devon just strolls up and goes, then you should be really good at it. And Liz, like, in fairness to Todd, he did not say that to Devon. Devon just like walked up to him and overheard it. And Liz doesn't defend Todd when Devon calls him a moron.
This is true. Although, no, I think Devon is there because when Todd says the thing about it not being on the sport, they shouldn't be on the sports page. I think Dylan turns up and is like, oh, really? But then Todd says to him, Ron can drive a race car.
Oh,
so he was insulting him to his face, to be fair.
Okay, true. By the way, you just called him Dylan as well.
Oh, Dylan! Catching! This is what I get from my notes just saying D. It was Devon for a while, and now this is the point where it changed to D, and that's what I get.
I know my notes also say D, so who knows what's going to come out of my mouth for the rest of this episode.
Dennis Whitelaw.
Desmond.
We have to call him by a different D name every time now.
Well, Derbyshire asks Todd, or rather challenges him, to a race.
He does, yes. Things escalate to the point that that they're going to have to race each other. And of course, Todd is kind of all talk and he's just like, oh, you know, I could take you on in a second, but there's no street to race on, so not going to happen. But, I'm trying to give a D name now.
Dilbert!
Derek knows a place where they can race.
They can use their normal cars.
Oh, yes, that's the thing.
Because they don't have to have race cars.
Todd pointed out, have a race car, but yeah, so they'll be able to use their regular street cars and yeah, so I've actually forgotten what his name. Devon knows a street that they can race on, and Liz is kind of trying to talk this whole situation down. She's like, look, Todd, you don't have to do this. Devon's like, listen to your girlfriend, you might get hurt.
He's such a prick, isn't he?
It's like, oh, we saw a little softer side to him last week, and it's like, can we just keep that up, please? But yeah, Todd is like, yeah, someone's getting hurt, all right, but it's not going to be me. And then we get our kind of strained emotional guitar again because things are happening.
Well, we cut to Sweet Valley High. Guess it's the next day, but time is very loosey-goosey in this episode, so who knows? And Jessica's giving out about the love potion smell. She hasn't smelled anything that bad, apparently, since Lila's hair went on fire in a tanning booth. Now, first of all, surely... she's not going to a tanning booth. Her skin is porcelain. And secondly, where the fuck is she?
Where is she? I know. I was really missing her. Because, I mean, I do enjoy Renata, but I'm also like, I don't want you to replace Lila either, though.
No. Well, Renata wonders if the potion basically has gone off because apparently it has been a while since she sought the love of a driver.
Yeah, so she says she's going to make a new batch. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, Winston pops up with Enid in her trademark baker boy hat by his side, and he gives Renata some flowers to apologise for upsetting her the other night. And she seems genuinely touched by the gesture, but she doesn't react as Winston hoped.
No, and he's so hopeful and cute here because he's just like, when she looks at the kind of bouquet of flowers he's given her, she's like, purple flowers. But he's like, do you like them? But apparently in her country, purple flowers are a sign of death. So she just like hands them back to him and goes, how could you? And stalks off. But Winston's disappointed, but he looks at Enid and he's like, well, she didn't cry. I'm making progress.
He's not wrong.
It's true.
Well, we cut to a classroom and Liz approaches Todd and says, look, this race is too dangerous. Devon has experience of doing this, but like, you've never done anything like this before. And Todd's like, oh, thanks for the vote of confidence. And Liz just says she doesn't want him to get hurt. But then Enid runs up and offers her services.
Yeah, she wants to be his pit crew. Apparently her cousins, Merle and Earl, are pro grease monkeys. And my notes here just say, she can do something with manifold, et cetera, et cetera. Apparently she knows about cars.
My notes just say, she knows her stuff. Yeah. She can help him win.
Yeah, exactly. She says that she can help him win. But then she's also like, not that you need it. But Todd, I think, is just, he's just happy that someone believes in him and he's going to take whatever help he can get. So he's like, yes. And very pointedly says to Liz, you know, I'm glad someone actually believes in me and is being supportive. So he's got Enid on side. But yeah, it's not looking good really between him and Liz right at the minute.
Oh, it certainly is not. Well, we got to the Moon Beach and Winston has assembled a samba band and they're all decked out in quite the ensembles, including Winston.
Again, always love it when Winston gets to wear a little outfit. And this is one of those episodes because, yes, he's gotten this Brazilian samba band in and ready. And they're wearing those like white shirts with the huge ruffled sleeves that are all different colours.
So
pink
amazing.
And yellow and blue. It is a hell of a look. And yeah, and Winston is also wearing one of these shirts for reasons. I don't know. He's not in the band. But Enid gets all excited when she sees them and she runs up and says, can you play the Macarena? And starts doing the dance. And all the guys in the band go, no Macarena. And all look really distressed.
They're horrified. But Winston says this crew are the only authentic samba band on the West Coast. Find that hard to believe.
Seems very unlikely.
When Renata hears them, she'll run straight into his arms. Mm-hmm. Well, we cut to another booth where Daniel asks Jessica on a date after the race. This would mean about him being a dickhead. Because like he's clearly not into her.
No, he's not at all.
And it's not fair.
It's not, because he is kind of stringing her along, but also clearly not being very nice to her as well. Like, he's never particularly enthusiastic about any of this, but he asks her out to go out after the race so they can celebrate his victory. So, of course, Todd overhears this, because everybody overhears everything in the Moon Beach at all times. Todd strolls up and he's like, did I hear you say you're going to win? Again, things just kind of escalate again. They're just shaping up to each other and... Dave said, There's still time to back out, Sporto, which is like this weird nickname he gave him when he turned up first. And it's just not a very good nickname. It's not really a play on anything. Like,
no. And it's not an insult. Like, is it meant to be that he plays basketball?
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually a good thing in high school. But anyway, they're squaring up to each other. Dylan is all like, oh, Dylan, fuck me, Devin. Put your money where your mouth is to Todd. But as Todd points out, he doesn't have that kind of money. So they decide they're going to race. Oh, no. Yeah. Devin is like, let's race for something we both want, like your girlfriend, which he says while Jessica is sitting right there and he's just asked her out on his date. This is very poor.
And apart from the general grossness of like betting a lady.
Yes.
Like you're an 18th century lord or something like that.
Yeah,
like, I will bet you your mistress.
Oh, God. Yes. A wager of a woman. Yes. Please don't. Now, he says straight away that he's just kidding because Todd immediately is like, if you touch her, you're a dead man. And I believe him.
Yes. Well, he's going to kill that guy.
He's going to kill that guy, in other words. And I wish he'd said it.
Well, Diego says, you know, as you say, that he's just kidding, but it doesn't sound like he means it. And then he says, well, let's bet basically our wheels and you can give me that sweet Chevy if I win. I don't get car talk, so it always sounds vaguely
sounded so natural though there. Give me that Chevy.
We definitely have Chevys over here. So we only really know them from like American Pie, as in the song.
True. Yeah.
So Todd insanely agrees to this.
Oh, God. Like, he does hesitate for a second because it's not even his fucking car. But no! Yeah, they do shake on it. So he does actually accept the deal ridiculously.
So Renata enters the Moon Beach. The band begin their samba rhythms. And Renata says she cannot believe what her eyes are hearing. And she looks very happy. And by the way, she does say eyes are hearing. That wasn't me. Take my notes down wrong.
No.
Winston is arms outstretched. But Renata runs right past them.
Into Paolo. Yes, because apparently this band leader, Paolo, was her first love from Brazil. So she thanks Winston for this and for finding him and says that she pardons him for all the insults and then turns to Paolo and she's like, he gave me purple flowers. And all the guys in the band are like, oh my God. The poor Winston is dejected and defeated and just kind of wanders over to the counter and slumps down with Enid beside him. And he's just like, next year, I hope the exchange student is from Des Moines.
And Enid comforts him very sweetly.
It's very cute.
Well, we cut to the race, which is just like a random street by the looks of things. It's not even in the countryside.
Nope.
It's like there's like paths. And like, I mean, I guess it's on a built up downtown area, but it seems a very dangerous place to be.
It does seem like there's many, many things that could go very, very wrong here super quickly. But there we go.
Well, Todd is in full racer drag and Dylan. No, that wasn't meant to be. That wasn't a joke. I did just say it.
Dylan, I think it's interchangeable now. He's Dylan and he's Devin. It doesn't matter.
If he's just called anything beginning with D, you know who we're talking about, listeners. Yes, he's wearing very of their time, shall we say, sort of wraparound narrow shades.
Yes.
And Jessica and Renata have turned up in a feast of what I can only imagine are extremely clammy, sweaty, man-made fabrics.
True. And I did enjoy Renata wearing her big pink Brazil hat as
well. Of course. It's her day. It's her day to have it.
It's her turn.
Tomorrow she'll have to give it back to some other Brazilian girl.
Isabella will be back for it.
But Jess, she's bedecked in sort of PVC plasticky fabric, and Jessica is a symphony of pleather.
True.
But Jessica says that the love potion really works because Darnley asked her out. And apparently they could make her and Renata could make a fortune selling this love potion to the quote, visually unacceptable.
Ouchie. Which is a bit rich coming from someone who clearly needed to use a love potion to get what she wanted. But anyway, Renata asks her about the date and like what the plan is. So Jessica explains that that they're going out to celebrate his victory. So then Renata points out, well, what happens if he doesn't win? But Jessica never thought of that. And she wonders if that means that their date would be cancelled. And then she, like with horror, she realises, oh my God, I'd have to pay for my own dinner, which is a shocking thought for her.
And I guess that's how things work in Jessica's world.
Yeah.
But Renata recommends that she carry out a ritual to make sure that Devon is victorious. And she says you have to chant something. It starts with the word Espero, which is Spanish for I hope, as far as I know. But maybe it's a Portuguese for I hope, and I couldn't understand the rest
of it. This is the thing. It did sound Spanish to me. But
did sound Spanish to me too.
Yeah. And I like there was explota was one word I caught, which I looked up and does mean explode. So I think it's like, I hope you explode.
Oh.
But again, I don't speak Spanish, so I actually don't know. But if anyone could translate it for us, that would be amazing.
At least let us know what language it is.
Yeah, that, you know what? That would be great too. Is it even Portuguese?
I have a feeling it might not be, but anyway,
yeah.
Let us know, listeners. Jessica isn't impressed. She won't be able to do this because I did like this. She can't even speak Canadian.
Amazing. Yeah, so Renata's like, just wave your arms around. It's the thought that does the counting.
So she calls Tardo away from that, quote, grease monkey Enid, and she wishes him to break an egg, and she hopes he doesn't crash and die horribly like her beloved. But she asks him to look on the bright side.
Yeah, she says, you know, but if you do, you'll be worshipped by millions and they'll sell T-shirts with your picture on them. So, you know, there's always a plus to these things.
Yeah. And Tata is kind of amusingly like nonplussed by this.
Just what is happening?
So Grease Monkey Enid leaves Todd's engine for a sec. She just goes around the side of the car and Jessica sneaks over because it looks like she's trying to, you know, obviously the words of her, I guess the exploding bit is directed at Todd. So it's like sabotaging Todd rather than enhancing the powers of I genuinely had to think for a second. Let's see what comes out. Dylan. Oh, fuck.
Still wrong.
Devon's car. She's not targeting his, she's targeting his rival. So she closes her eyes and waves her hands around and chants, whatever Renata said, whatever Renata said.
It's so good. That is brilliant. Because I did wonder what she was going to say or if she was going to say anything, and that was perfect.
And she doesn't notice because her eyes are closed, but her necklace folds right into what we later find out is the carburetor. I haven't clue what it was, just some bit of machinery. I think my notes say engine ?
Yeah. I did Google round bit on engine and that said that it was like to do with an air circulatory thing or air filter.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I'm assuming Enid knows more about these things than I do.
I think we can safely assume that. So she sneaks off again. Enid returns. And without looking, I mean, come on, Enid. Enid puts the top back on this bit of the
roundy bit.
Roundy bit. And it's waste time.
Uh-oh. Yes. Engines have started.
So Liz runs up to Todd and when he's about to get into the car. And she says, look, it's not worth losing your dad's car. And Todd's like, he challenged me and asks for a kiss for good luck. And Dylan gets into his car and says, that's my car. Don't scratch the paint. So he's just being a cocky prick.
He is, yeah. And I did wonder, were they going to do the usual thing where it's like a sexy girl, you know, waves a flag to start off the race. So I was very happy to see that it was, in fact, Winston that starts the race.
I can tell you when they have multiple drag races in Riverdale, of course, it is a sexy girl.
It is the way of like the Fast and the Furious series as well, that it's always like some hot girl with her arse hanging out of a skirt.
Well, Winston drops the flag. The driver is set off. Winston leaps in triumph. It's actually a great shot.
It's so good. He gets some real airtime there. It's wonderful.
And the two racers zoom down this possibly residential street. Yes. There's some cars in the background. So,
yeah, it is like not at all deserted. This is so dangerous.
Oh, God. It's stressful. So, understandably, Liz is extremely stressed.
Yeah.
Especially when the sabotage starts working and Todd loses control of the car. And he does manage to pull over and not crash into anything. But yeah. Enid can't believe it because she knew she had that engine purring like her aunt's cat on catnip.
Yeah, she can't figure out what happened. And I do love Enid's little outfit here as well, where she's got like the proper kind of like a mechanic's shirt on.
Yeah.
She looks great.
It is adorable.
It is.
But Dylan swaggers over to Todd, and Todd is like, "Oh, okay, fine. Here's the keys." And Dylan's like, "Oh, I don't want your car. All I wanted was to beat you." Ha ha ha. And then Jessica realizes she's missing something.
Yeah, she's panicked looking for her necklace. And Enid obviously finds us. She eventually has looked around the engine to figure out what went wrong. And she's like, "Well, now we know what happened." And she's holding the necklace. And Jessica's like, "Your car ruined my necklace." And like grabs it and runs off. And it's like, "Wow, Jessica, you nearly killed Todd."
Yes.
You don't care at all.
No, not a moment of, not a moment of anybody go think really sort of following me up on the potential intentional sabotage aspect.
Yeah. And like how badly that could have gone. Like just, yeah, it's just immediately like, "Oh, there she goes. Okay, never mind."
By the way, I think this was the moment where I noticed that Paolo has been here the whole time.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I really do think he just popped up there. It's like, "Oh, where'd he come from?"
So, yeah, there's not really any like resolution between Todd and Devon / Dylan / Dave /
Douglas.
Darren.
I had one ready. Yeah, because that was the thing when he was making his point that like kicking Todd's butt was all the satisfaction he needed. He does kind of say "for now" and gives Liz this really meaningful look. So it's very much like unfinished business between everybody and him, really.
Yeah. So up he goes. And Winston urges the rest of them to go to the Moon Beach for some sloppy Anaconda Joes.
And everyone quite rightly just goes, "Ugh."
As well they might. Yeah. And even his cries that they're half price fail to win over the punters.
They're not enticed at all.
And that is the end of Drag King.
Yeah, it was a slightly weird ending, wasn't it?
Very weird. It felt quite anticlimactic. It didn't feel like a conclusion or a cliffhanger.
No, not at all. But it was a fun episode. And I have to say, I'm very much here for Renata suddenly being kind of witchy out of nowhere.
Oh, yes. Her potion shelf.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I very much enjoyed that too. Well, Pi Beta Alpha siblings, what did you think of Drag King? Have you ever been in a drag race? This sort of drag race, not the fun kind. And have you eaten piranha?
Yeah, maybe it is something that you can eat. I don't know.
I mean, who knows? Like, people eat different things in different parts of the world.
True.
I tried alligator in Nashville. That was weird. So,
was it very tough? Like, I can't imagine it was a very tender meat.
It was sort of on a kebab. And it actually was quite chicken-esque.
Interesting.
So, yeah, who knows? Maybe people do eat piranha. And if they do, and you are one of them, let us know what it tastes like. What language was Renata speaking?
Oh, please. I'm dying to know. Because it really did sound like Spanish, but I also don't know enough about Spanish to say with any kind of certainty.
And I definitely don't know enough Portuguese. I do know that when you hear it, it does sound like if I've watched Brazilian films or whatever, or TV series, like it does sound different.
It does. That's the thing, because it kind of sounds like Spanish for a second and then goes kind of nearly Russian sounding or something.
Yeah, the sounds, there's some, either the consonants or something about it is different. And
it is a very distinctive, I think, language. It has a distinctive sound. And this really did seem like it was Spanish, but again, I can't say for sure.
So, yes, our linguistic experts share your expertise because you did have plenty to say on last week's unhinged extravaganza.
Gosh, yes. Loose lips sink yachts. That was our That was our last one.
I was delighted to see people have started tagging themselves.
Oh, yes. Love that. Can never get enough of that. Where are we? So, oh, yes. Princess Fiona is an ogre. Got the ball rolling with, I'm the queen nerd of Nerd Gulch who got assigned the locker next to Jessica Wakefield. I miss the lovely smell of used books and stimulating conversation. Why am I surrounded by these vapid bitches and choked on the smell of hairspray? I miss my view of the beautiful Winston.
Oh. Laura Lee, or Vivian Shirley said, I'm Laura, who is Laura Lee, said, I'm Laura Lee's eyebrows shooting sky high that a contemporary, Anna, that's me, had a classmate who had been expelled due to a teen pregnancy, as her high school population would have been decimated if sexually active and pregnant parent teens were expelled as policy. This is Ireland in the early 90s. It was a different time.
Sure was. Yeah. Kated said, I'm a burro. What I ever did to deserve being Renata's go-to insult.
Oh, poor burrito. So Meme Squirrel 800 urged us to watch I'm Sorry, Andrea Savage's show. She says it's so good, and also, or they are saying, I don't know, maybe I don't know the gender of Meme Squirrel, but said it's so good and also necessary viewing to appreciate the full dimensionality of Renata.
Yeah, I had never heard this show, but I have to say I'm intrigued, especially if we're bringing Renata into dimensionality and whatnot. So, yeah, I don't know if it was ever on telly on this side of the world, but I'm going to have to see, can we track it down?
Yeah, it must be. I mean, I was going to say it must be available here, but you'd be surprised what isn't.
I'll tell you. Yeah, this is the thing. You'd assume things are pretty much worldwide, but not always. Yep.
Or stuff like Search Party that's on, you know, one of the streamers here and then disappears while you're still watching it and you can see the rest.
Fuck's sake, it's, well, it's gone forever.
Well, no. And the you know, the old dodgy friends are not as reliable as they used to be,
really,
like,
aren't.
15 years ago or so, yeah, when you could get literally anything you wanted. But
honestly, the golden days of torrents are not so much anymore.
Really not. Miranda Gian said, ah, I was so excited you mentioned the Woodbruce One Live Journal site. I was sure you must have been in that community because of booing John Pfeiffer. True. Loved that site back in the day. Even wrote a recap of the novelization of the TV show. Oh, we have to go look that one up.
Definitely.
Lil Stargazer told us that, what's his name? Douglas shows up in Sweet Valley in Fight Fire with Fire, but he sees the Wakefields and falls in love, but he doesn't start school until the next book. Says, the end of Fight Fire with Fire, I can already hear you guys sputtering. Well, can only imagine how Wash is going to make us react in that way. Could be a lot of things.
You know what? I feel like there's never any shortage of things to get that reaction out of us. Kated was slightly confused.
Oh my God.
Is Renata not a new student too? Did I miss something? Last week she was a random girl staying at the same resort as the SVH students, and now she's just there. Shouldn't Liz be interviewing her for a profile too? And yes, very good point that Liz should also be writing a profile about her, because she just does one about every new student apparently. But there was, and it was possibly a throwaway line at the end of the first episode, where they did mention that Renata was going to be going to Sweet Valley High and Jessica was horrified.
Yes, that's true. I can
absolutely see that getting lost in the mania of that episode with the montages and the 80s prom dresses and the lady with the whistle. There was a lot going on, to be fair.
Yes. Jen Beals Guild spoke the truth when she said, Anna, I think you were subconsciously substituting Beverly Hills 90210's Mad, Bad and Dangerous to Know, Dylan McKay, every time you transposed the name Dylan with Devon. And that is true. Who didn't love Dylan McKay?
I mean, come on. And also the whole Devon Dylan thing, I think that's just canon now. He's also Dylan as much as he's Devon.
Well, he's anyone's guess the next time he turns up, who knows.
Old Davy Whiteclaw.
There was a lot of love for the appearance of Amy in Nerd Gulch.
Yes. Oh my God. I mean, that really was incredible to see. It was Marnie McFly who had kind of mentioned there was something that was going to make us happy. And she was like, I told you you'd be so happy. And yes, 100% correct.
And Anandini77 spoke for us all when she said, God, so much better than that rando and completely wrong Amy Sutton in season one, episode one. So true.
Yes.
That was accurate. Like their floor length, you know, tea dress. That was no Amy.
No.
Well, Pi Beta Alpha siblings, thank you for joining us in the clubhouse yet again. We really, really appreciate you supporting us and supporting the show, and we hope you continue to do so, so we can keep making these bonus episodes, which we very much enjoy doing.
We really do. They're so fun, and they're nice kind of little handy ones to do as well, because I mean, not many bonus episodes are like an hour long, I don't think, so but we still managed to do that.
That's what they're working. And if you would like to support us in another way, both financially and by going around showing off some very stylish creations from our very own Karen Moynihan, you can head to Lissette's.
Oh my God. Yes, we have finally launched some new merch. So we have a shop up on Redbubble. So I think the handiest way to get to it is doublelovepod.redbubble.com. So if you head over there, you can click through to the designs and have a look and see. But like, there's Dairy Burger jumpers, t-shirts, badges, there's Oracle notebooks, there's a great t-shirt that is like that famous Beatles one, so it's just got Jessica and Elizabeth and Margot and Nora on it, and it's fucking class. If I do say so myself, even though it was someone else's idea. So
it was Claire PH's idea.
PH came up with the idea, and it was genius, to be honest.
Total genius.
It's so good. So yeah, so we have loads of new merch over there. So you can head over there for a little look around, see what takes your fancy. And yeah, hopefully you'll find something that you like. And because it's Redbubble as well, like, our kind of further overseas listeners shouldn't get stung with like mad delivery fees, because things are kind of printed and shipped more locally, I think, for places like Canada and the United States and Australia and New Zealand.
Yes.
So hopefully you shouldn't get too badly hit that way. So yeah, definitely go over and check it out and see what takes your fancy.
And remember, if you see a design you like, you can get it on pretty much anything. Like, you just have to click for the different options. So, you know, the Herman My Pills sticker might come up, but you can get that amazing icon on a number of other things as well. So yeah, let your sweet valley love express itself in whatever way feels natural.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it might look like there's only a few things there, but that's it. If a particular design catches your eye, click in through and you can see it on loads of different things and pick your favorite thing. So yeah. Hopefully you'll go grab some stuff, because honestly, it was really fun to design and I do think it makes for some quite cool merch. So definitely have a look.
It definitely does. Like, if you remember our classic Dairy Burger tote bags, it's that amazing Dairy Burger logo advertising the hot clam special. It's now available in, not just in the classic tote bag, you can now get it in all sorts of things, including clothing. So yeah, have fun. I am purchasing a Jessica and Elizabeth and Margot and Nora t-shirt. And I will get other things as well, because I genuinely love all these designs, as well as obviously wanting to support and pay contribute towards my own joint podcast.
There we go. But yeah, there's even stuff with cheerleader on it, if that's if that's your vibe. So you too can be a cheerleader.
So that's one for all you former cheerleaders out there.
Yeah, and we know there's many of you.
Oh, there's a surprising amount. Well, Pi Beta Alpha siblings, we, as we were warned in the last main episode, we will not have a new main episode next week because Karen is off to California.
I'm being really selfish and I'm going on holidays, but I might do a quick field report from California. So we'll see how we go.
She's going to be in Wakefield country. She's going to make her way there slowly, killing people as she goes, like Margot. Right. I mean, no, she's not going to do that.
Okay, no, I won't.
I mean, you might just feel the urge to kill an old lady in a bus station.
You just never, if someone hands me a sandwich, I swear to God.
They'd better not try. Now, don't go throwing any wedding dresses under any giant trucks.
Oh.
Oh, I mean, if you can't control yourself, I understand. But, okay. You know,
I'm not making any promises.
You can frolic on a beach. Well, you better not meet any old perverts when you're frolicking on that Pacific Ocean beach.
Catching a frisbee or getting hit in the head with a frisbee. That's actually very likely for me to just be hit in the head with a frisbee. I'm not good at catching things.
Well, watch who's throwing it. That's all I can say.
Okay, I will keep my eyes peeled. And run away from sex perverts.
Reassuring. Yeah. But while you will not have a main episode, while Karen is this dodgy,
doing all that apparently
today, Jeremy,
I'm Radio Jeremy. That's okay, isn't it?
Oh, perfect! Two birds with one stone.
Perfect combination of evil twin antics.
Would she be frolicking on the beach in her assortment of Lisette's high quality swimwear? We will not leave you empty handed. You will get another installment in my deranged 2002 fan fiction. From here to Sweet Valley.
Oh,
what
God.
Will happen when Liz tries to organize a Sweet Valley reunion? Will Winston escape his evil bride, Lila? And will Todd and Enid be forgiven by the rest of Sweet Valley? You can find out by heading to the Headstuff website in next week. We will have a little announcement on the main feed and a link so you can reread or read for the first time the previous installments and then check out part three. And then the week later, we're not going to keep our Pi Beta Alpha siblings waiting. Your next Pi Beta Alpha episode is coming in 2 weeks as usual.
Yes, so we are keeping our bonus episode schedule the same. Yes. So you're not going to miss out. So it's going to be fine. So we will be into the next one. Yeah, on time as usual. That'll all be grand.
So we will see you in Sweet Valley next week in the future. Ooh. On the main feed. Well, future for them, 22 years in the past for us. as we head from here to Sweet Valley. But we will see you back in the clubhouse in 2 weeks. When Lila and Jessica and Renata, at least Lila's Ooh. Back,
yay,
protest for the right to bear midriffs.
Interesting. Okay.
See you then, everybody.
Ooh, thanks for listening.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.